肩っす。Respect, faith, devotion, love, care, gratitude. Respect, love, devotion, care, gratitude. Appreciation, concern, and good wishes are very, very, very hard to put into words, into action, and into expression. They are non-tangible feelings that animals and humans and even spirits have that need to be expressed, that need to be shared, that need to be given. Very important. Paris, would you like a table? Be easier for you? Sure. Please get a table. Andy, would you like a table? What about you, Tenderohi? You guys would like a table? Juan, Susan, Joseph, you sure? Please use it. Please use it. That's what it's for. See, things here, things in our, things. Oh, turn it around for her because you have more space under it. Yes, things our organization just doesn't look pretty. It's also user friendly too. Thank you. That includes the Smuru. Better. You okay, Susan? You okay? All right. How about you, Sharon? Okay. Good. 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 Better? Stick your legs under that table, you can fit. Yes, I saw you typing. There's a lot of suffering, I know. Henry, do you need a table? A chair? A drink? A ciggy bud? A cigar? Marijuana? A Mary Jane? Some E? Coke? Here's the man. Oh, 10 years ago, not anymore. He's given all that up. No, I'm just kidding. He doesn't do any of that. He takes, I don't know, he takes pictures of Hiroshima and looks at the mushrooms from that. Oh. A little low blow, but never mind. I know. It slipped, but never mind. I couldn't think of a better representation of mushroom. Okay. Paris is deeply affected. Now she can't write anymore. Oh, snap out of it. Cut it out with the drama. You should be an actress. Okay, katas. Love, appreciation, care, concern, gratitude, respect, etc. Our emotions are essential for all of us. Emotions that are essential to be expressed and to be told. In fact, just giving food and clothes and shelter and a pat on the head and material items doesn't make animals or people or even spirits grow to be happy, fun-loving, beneficial spirits, animals and people, you know? And in fact, people become spirits because they don't get those emotions or they don't give it. They don't give it because they don't get it. They don't get it because they don't give it. It's samsara. Same thing with animals. Animals that are filled with that kind of emotions or given that kind of emotions, they act very differently with owners and other people than animals who don't. And even on a higher level of human capacity, people who are loved, appreciated, given that, and shown that, and always taken care of in that way, they're very different individuals. So those emotions are intangible. No color, no form, no substance, no taste, no tactile feeling, nothing. But they exist. Why? People who have it are different, and people who give it are very different. And hence, the most popular Buddha in China and Tibet is the Lord of Compassion, the holder of the White Lotus, Avalokiteshvara Kuan Yin. Why? Because these emotions are all represented by this great Bodhisattva. So she is so loved in China, and in Tibet, he is so loved in Tibet. He is the patron Buddha of Tibet. Why? We all need those appreciation, love, and care, and thanks, and concern. We need that. So therefore, that is not able to be shown. And when we receive teachings from our guru, you know, oh, and thank you, thank you, thank you. It changed my life, and people become enlightened from the teachings, and they change and transform. There's no way to show it. People who love their parents so much, and they're going away, how do you show it? It's just a hug. And then there are some people that we can't hug. You know, they're beyond our rank. They're beyond our level. They're beyond our social class. It's not proper. Or maybe, you know, in some societies, we can't hug women. Women can't hug men. So it's very difficult because in Tibetan society, touchy-touchy is a no-no. Kissy-kissy is a no-no. A public display of affection is not frowned upon, but not encouraged. And in extreme cases, sometimes you'll see two sisters, you know, give a hug and say goodbye, or auntie to a nephew, or something like that. But There's not a lot of physical touch. There's not a lot of physical expression. And touching our gurus or anything like that is a very, very big no-no. His Holiness has broken the whole taboo by hugging every single person that meets him. You know, every person that meets him, you know, anything he hugs is beautiful. And it's allowed a lot of Tibetan lamas to do that. Like Lama Yeshe was a very big huggy person. In any case, what is it? It's love. So in Tibetan society, how to express all that was Rokata. A pure, white, beautiful, clean cloth that has no specific measurements, width and length, but that can be as ornate as made of pure silk and shiny with the 8 auspicious signs woven into it, and very long, can be 2 or 3 feet tall, long, can be a 1 feet, 1.5 feet in length and folded over, or it can be just a simple piece of cloth that's 1.5 to 2 feet long, maybe 0.5 feet in width. I'm just giving you approximations here. And nothing imprinted and can be made of rough cotton. But a kata wasn't dependent on the person you give it to, and the person giving it can express respect. When we're going away someplace and we want to say goodbye to our parents who love us, and the mother is crying and the father is packing our things because he cares, offering a kata to our mother and father is thank you for your blessings and your deep gratitude to your parents, and to say that may I see you soon and I love you, and you offered kata to them in deep respect. And when the kata is put back onto your neck, it is to signify their love in the case of parents. In the case of lamas, when it's put back on your neck, it is blessing. So sometimes when we go away, we go to our altars and we make a beautiful kata offering to our Yidam, the beautiful green goddess Dada. Dada, I'm going to be away from your statue for a little while, from your image here on my altar, but you're always with me. Please follow me. And you offer a kata to Dada to say, goodbye, I'll see you soon. Respect and blessings. And also, when you go to your protector chapels, to invoke upon the protective energies of your Dharma protector, that whatever you want to do, whatever you want to fulfill, may be fulfilled effortlessly with no obstacles or less obstacles. So when you offer that kata, it costs you some money. And that money is translated into a white piece of cloth, whatever its material, to mean your devotion, your faith, your confidence, and your making a direct affinity to this protective deity, or to the lama, or to the yidam. So you offer kata. And when you offer gifts to people, which I wanted the laptop here on my throne, because I wanted to avoid that one. Yes. You got to open up a shop called Pink Dharma. What's that? All Dharma items in pink lot. What else? Isn't that fun? God. It's the first time we've seen a pink Tsongkhapa. Tsongkhapa, you're like, oh God. All right. If it benefits people, why not? Isn't that horrible? And she can get away with it because she's obnoxious and fun. Okay. So Sharon would be like, oh, we don't go into that store. It's not proper. We go into Zambala Mystical Treasures where they sell correct colored Tsongkhapas, gold. Let's go, Susan, now. Susan, but we have to support our friend. She's a co-writer. Let's go now. Yes. We know who wears the pants. All right. Now, so a kata is an expression of this emotion we have towards the person we're offering it to, or the being. In the case of our lama, devotion and blessings. In case of our yidams, to solicit attainments, to solicit attainments. In the case of our dharma protectors, to solicit, to ask for protective energy. In the case of our parents, gratitude, respect, love. In the case of friends, deep friendship. In the case of buildings, if there's a new building, we offer a kata to the building, we tie it at the door or whatever. What does it mean? It's that my good wishes and my prayers May this building bring great success and love and happiness. Good luck. I totally agree with what you're doing. So when you give a gift, it's not just simply here. You give it with a kata to show respect to the other person that it is an honor. And it is a great pleasure for me to offer you something. So when you offer it with a kata, and you give a gift to someone, it's great respect. So in Tibetan tradition, just to give like that, is very disrespectful. And to give it just one hand is very disrespectful. And especially if you're giving if you're a representation, this is something new, a representative of a lama, a changsu, whenever you give the gift, an item or letter to a person from the lama, you always give it with a kata to the person. Why? It signifies the blessing of the lama. Even the lama hasn't touched it because you represent the lama. So always give everything with a kata to people. And a kata is held like this. Nothing wrong, but if you need to pick a side, the opening is towards the person. So the closed part is towards you. And how you store a kata is not the way Xing Piao stores his shirts. Let me show you how. This is how Xing Piao, can you see this? Good. This is how Xing Piao stores his shirts, his clothes, his pants, his notes, his life. That's not how we store a kata. How we store a kata is traditionally, it's a way of social interaction and a feeling of closeness. To be close to someone, to say that I like you. Folding katas is a social interaction. So we would have another person. Andy, can I have your help? Hold the end of the kata like this. All right? That person hold the end. And it's a joyous occasion. You stretch it out. You stretch it like that. And you usually see Tibetans smiling while they fold katas. It's a happy occasion, it's a beautiful occasion. So it's a social interaction, saying, this is my friend. You know, a mother and daughter, a father and son, father and daughter, you know, like two students getting ready for a teaching or after a blessing. You know, it's wow. You know, it's a happy occasion because katas represent happy emotions. You know, if you're angry at somebody, you wouldn't give a kata. Well, you probably strangled them, but you wouldn't give them a kata. You wouldn't write nasty notes on it. I hate Tem Rinpoche because he didn't show me love, you know, on a kata and throw it at him. You know, you wouldn't do that. Katas are happy, so it's always happy occasion. It's a celebration. It's during festival. It's during teachings. It's for pujas. It's initiations. It's gifts. It's birthdays. It's anniversaries. It's and then the only time a kata is used that's on a sad occasion is when someone's died, and that's show your last respect to the person and the family. So katas are emotions. They're emotions in cloth. What are katas? Emotions in cloth. So when we fold it, one person will hold it, and this person will take it, flip it in, and then hold it like that, and fold. No, you keep it like that. You keep it tight, and then you come closer as they get folding. And as they fold it, you come closer, you just fold it like that. So it becomes like a fan. All right? See, you have a fan effect now. And then when you just get to the end, not all the way to the end, you just fold it over completely, and then that's how you hold it. And that's how you would store the kata, so it doesn't become wrinkly and ugly and look funny. Because, you know, you don't want to give one of your katas that look like one of Xing Piao's shirts, your guru. You know, it's like all wrinkled. And then easy to store, doesn't get wrinkled. Because Tibetans will keep it in their chuba and take it out and offer it. And immediately, you know, here, the catchword is never leave home without an Amex card, American Express. In Tibet, never leave home without kata. Oh, yes, it's really like that. There's a kata mendue. They're like, no kata. Why? Because you're always going to meet a high lama. You're always going to go to temple. You're always going to get a yidam. You're going to see some Buddha. You're going to see someone. And it's like no kata. And to go up there, no kata, it's like, you know, it's a kind of cultural thing. And I think it's beautiful because emotions on cloth. And so when you offer it to your guru, what you do is you make three prostrations first. And you usually keep your kata in the clean place and clean area. You know, you just stick it in a corner, you know, throw it there, or wipe your nose with it. You do not wipe your nose and perspiration, the body parts with your kata, and wash it and then use it again. You do not. Okay, it is not an underwear. It is not a gym wear. It is emotion love wear. Okay? So what happens is this, is that if we're going to go see a lama, we keep our kata inside in our bag or whatever, or clean place. We make three prostrations. And then when we're just near the lama, we open it up. And we hold it with two hands. We offer it. So when we offer it to a lama, the lama will put it back on our head. the person that is higher rank or higher in whatever spiritual rank or worldly rank, such as parents, the kata is put back on our head. We never put a kata back on our guru's head because it means I'm blessing you. To put it back on your head means it's a blessing. Okay? So to your parents, to your guru, to authority, to ministers, you offer to them, they'll put it back on your head. To people who are of equal rank or lower rank, you will put the kata to their hand. So let's say that Zahir is the same as me in the monastery, right? I would not put this over his head. If he's a younger Rinpoche, I will put it over his head. If he's my age, I will put it to his hand to show respect that I am not above you. So you'll see how Rinpoche's humilities are with other Rinpoches and stuff. They will never put it over their head. Unless it's their student, they'll give it directly to the hand, hold it. And the Rinpoches will fight to put it on my neck. Some Rinpoches will take it and put it on their own neck, and the other Rinpoches say, no, 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 because it means that I'm higher than you. And the other one's humbling himself. So in Tibetan society, you always see, like, if one Rinpoche is trying to give it equally, this second Rinpoche will try to put it on his head to show humility. It's a practice of humility. Because in Tibet, humility, not showing off and not bragging, and no face is a virtue. Wanting face is a very, very bad virtue because it's an extension of the delusional mind. It increases it. And humility and wanting to advertise who you are and talking about how good you are is very, very bad because it's against Buddhist principles. Why is it? Those kind of actions increase your hatred, desire, and anger, and ego, and pride if it's used wrongly. So in Tibet, it's frowned upon. Humility is very great. And in most Buddhist countries that are infiltrated with Buddhism, that is the key word, humility. So if it's offered to the protective deities, of course you offer it up, not on their neck. You offer it on in front of them, or onto their feet, or onto their hands. To your yidams, all the more so. The Lama Tsongkhapa, if you have a statue, we offer it in between his hands or on his lap, never on his neck, never. How can you bless Lama Tsongkhapa? Hi Shakyamuni, you want a blessing? I don't think so. You know, hi Shakyamuni, I love you, so let me wrap this kata around you. No. On there, here. Why? It's show respect. So it's very, very, very simple. And they should be kept. And if a high lama or during special occasion, whatever, a lama has given you a kata, is considered blessed. People can even fold it and keep it somewhere in their house, on their altar, or something to be used inside statues, or even protective over their doors. And some even tie it around their animal, which we don't need here in Tibet. It's protection. And sometimes when protectors go into trance, they'll take a kata and do a special knot. They do a special knotting on it, right? And do a mantra and seal it and give it to you. It becomes a very powerful protection. So that you'll keep over your house, over your new business, on your altar or something. It's considered a very powerful protection. So katas are a universal way of showing love, acceptance, respect, care, concern, and all the positive emotions. So it's emotions on a cloth. So we should keep it very, very well. And we may not be Tibetans, but we also have emotions. So we can use katas to show it. Okay? And offering katas is virtuous. Very, very virtuous because of what it represents. And it has the 8 auspicious signs, so when you offer it up, you offer up the 8 auspicious signs, which we'll talk about in a little while. Questions on katas? Yes, Joanne? Okay. There is not a big difference in the colors. White is the usual pervasive color used in katas in Tibet. In Mongolia, it's blue, but you also have yellow, red, orange, and different katas. Why? For certain rituals, you need to represent the 5 different elements, earth, air, water, fire, earth, air, water, fire, metal. To represent the 5 different elements, then you have the 5 different colors. All right? So sometimes katas are used for specific rituals. And sometimes it's just nice to offer a yellow kata. Yellow kata can represent growth and increase to a wealth deity. You know, a red kata is very nice to offer to a protective deity. Why? Red means fierce and wrath. And isn't it fabulous? Imagine you have a 4-foot Vajrayogini statue in your house, and she's beautiful, she's fabulous, she's dressed up, and she's looking at you, and it's dark, and you and your lover sitting there staring at her, and there's a butter lamp in front of her, and then you offer her a red kata onto her hand and ask Vajrayogini to bestow on you higher attainments. Isn't that fabulous? Oh, yes. Can you imagine a big vajugnina? I mean, what a reason to work. I mean, we work so hard and we make so much money. Do we want the result of that to have another Fendi Gucci tired bag or striped socks or, you know, another tired car, you know, just another food or restaurant? Wouldn't it be nice that all the money we made ended up in something very useful for us and our loved ones, a beautiful image of a Buddha, a big one? That's why even when Buddha images are very expensive, for Tibetans, how poor or how rich are, they don't blink an eye. They'll never go, oh, never. Why? To create a Buddha image and to keep it and to dedicate it for our son, our daughter, our husband, our wife, our lover, our friend, our parents is very holy. That's why in our stores, for many people, I allow part payment. Why? I'm not into making money. I'm into making merits for them. So having a holy Buddha image, there is so much benefit. We'll talk about that. Have so much benefit. It's incredible. That's why having a holy image that costs nothing. And Tibetans are usually find opportunities to sponsor statues, find opportunities to sponsor tatas, find opportunities to give statues away. And they don't let you know because they collect the merit and all the blessings and you just take and say, oh, I think I got a free gift. Yeah, you may have saved $200, $300 or $50, whatever. You think you've saved, but to sponsor a statue, the benefits are limitless. That's why you see lamas, big lamas, little street dogs like me and people and rich and poor women, whatever, they will always find an opportunity to sponsor a statue, a stupa, a book to give away. They will die and clamber and scream for it. And they'll donate to monasteries, they donate to the temple, they donate to their friends, and you know, oh, it's your birthday? Here's a statue. Oh, it's your anniversary? Here's a statue. Oh, you mean you have a cold? Here's a statue. Oh, you're unhappy? Here's a statue. Oh, you mean today you bought your new car? Here's a statue. Like, what does that have to do with it? They don't care. They look for an opportunity because they know the benefit for the receiver and the giver. Just imagine a large, and that should be a goal for us. Have a fabulous, beautiful altar that we come home to. Literally, on a superficial basis, come home to after a long day of work. Come home to here. Come home to a fabulous, can you imagine a fabulous, beautiful, glorious statue of Vajrayana, 3 feet, 4 feet? Oh God, with pearls and jewelry and shiny and just fabulously, fabulously gorgeous and deliciously fabulous that you make offerings and you pray to. That is the sum of your hard work. The sum of your hard work. Oh yes, that's why I encourage it and I even get very expensive statues. I'll tell you why, Nepal. As I said, we make next to nothing. I don't care. Sometimes the stores don't survive. Sometimes we're in the red. Last year, Kichara Paradise was in the red for 25,000 ringgit. In the red. No profit at all, but in the red. We finally recover from that slowly. And then everybody's like, why? It doesn't matter. Because the outlets is to spread Dharma. And so therefore, I get more statues, interesting statues, nice statues, and I let people do part payment. Why? Because I want them to have holy, powerful images. And they may not realize immediately the effect, but they will in time because people are smart. People will know, and I will explain and teach, and we can read. Very, very powerful. And especially if it's our particular Yidam, like if it's Manjushri or Chenensik or Vajrayana and Lama Tsongkhapa, oh, it's very important to have. Very important, very important. This is not something I talk about just now. This is what I've been doing since I was a little nobody, you know. I still am a nobody, but a bigger nobody last time. And I didn't have any money to buy anything. So after this, I would like everybody to get a kata and go to my house quickly and to see my Vajrayana. My Vajrayana statue there was given to me by a Malaysian in Bodh Gaya under the Bodhi tree. And it cost 1,300 rupees. That's 120 ringgits. And that 13 years ago for me, not even unimaginable. It wouldn't even enter my mind I can get that. Because 1,300 rupees to me 13 years ago in India is a huge fortune. I can live on that amount for 2 months as a monk. Well, when I got that, I was like, oh my God. It was a gift. I just screamed. And so I've had that. It's from Delhi. It's not the best craftsmanship. No, it's not. And then I met Tashi in Delhi. To make a long story short, you know, we met up by accident in the Dharma Center. We became friends. And she sponsored the gold for the face and the jewelry, which was another 3,000-4,000 rupees. We're like, oh, 300 is a fortune. And I went to the artist every day and I harassed him to death. I harassed him. I sat there and I pushed him and I bitched him nonstop until he got it the way I want. And the face is the original painted. And I took it down to Ganden. It took a while to get money together to get mantras in. It took another while to get it consecrated, but it's been consecrated by the highest lamas. Mantras have been put in. And then when I became recognized as a lama, then people come make offerings to me. Somebody died. somebody's sick, somebody needs prayer, somebody needs luck. They always give me money, so I, this money I don't use, I collect it, and I always buy some jewelry, I always buy some gold, and I offer it onto her. So over the years, even now in Malaysia, a lot of people give me so many gifts. I don't deserve it, but I get it. And instead of just voraciously taking, lapping up the gifts and using it and swimming in the gifts, what I do is I offer something back for the people. So what I do is I offer always from the ang pao stuff, I take a percentage out and I collect it, and I keep in front of the altar and pray for people, and I transform that into jewelry or whatever, and I offer it up to Bajugini for every single person who's done anything for me. Always. So my offerings never stop. So my offering of Bajugini has become quite expensive, extensive. And this statue, you can take a look afterwards. It's not the best craftsmanship. It's not fabulous. But it's the best Bajugini statue on this planet because it's filled with love, devotion, and it's created from so many people who just offered so much to me, and I have nothing to offer them except Bajugini. So I want you guys to take a look after this. Take a quick look. Don't try to sneak to my kitchen, steal my chocolate cake. Don't try to kidnap my dog. Don't try to sneak upstairs and take a look at what kind of underwears I wear. All right? Oh, Irene's not here. I want you to go and take a look. Why? They'll become holy and precious. So for me, statues is not a passion. It's not an art. It is something that is extremely beneficial for others. I have statues all over, big ones, blah, 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 everywhere, and I give it away like that. Why? It has so much benefit. I'll talk about that another time. So katas, imagine a beautiful red kata in a beautiful red Bajugini in your house. Glorious and beautiful with a sexy, gorgeous female body. I mean, aren't women beautiful? And just beautiful, beautiful Bajugini. Of course, order through KMT, KP, and DMT. Order anywhere else, not chop your fingers off. Oh, oops. And then beautifully decorate. And not all at once. Slowly with time, you add to it because our budgets are constrained. Constrained. And then during your birthday or something special, offer a beautiful red kata. And just imagine the butter lamp flickering in front of her face in the dark. You do her mantra and her prayers and the meditation. What else is there? You go back home. Because Bajugini is in here. You're going back home. Isn't that fabulous? Or just think of beautiful Lama Tsongkhapa. Smiling, fat, gold, with a yellow hat. Smiling at you in acceptance. With blessings and compassion and skill. Teaching you the Dharma, looking at you, and then it's dark and there's a butter lamp with incense billowing. You offer a beautiful white or yellow kata up to him, for your mother, for your lover, for someone's birthday, and celebrate. Just think about that. All of you should take a tour of Ruby's house and see her tsongkhapa. She has a big 5 feet tsongkhapa, which cost her a bomb. It took her a while to pay it off, but she managed. A big fat tsongkhapa. She moved from a big fat house to a teeny little apartment, and she fit that tsongkhapa in, I tell you. She stuffed them. She was putting them in the door like, go in, go in, go in. Oh, yes. Oh, you must go to her house, and you must pay homage to the fabulous tsongkhapa. She ain't the only one. There's a lot of Malaysian Singaporeans around getting big statues. Why? They know the benefit. When they first joined me, like, I want a little one, have no space. Their house is so huge, and they're little, And after they know me for 1 or 2 years, trust me, their statues grow. Yes, they're like algae in the rain. Okay. So that's what katas are for. That's how they're used in general and in short. And they have a lot of meaning. Any questions on that? Do you have any Panadol? Anybody has any Panadol? Yeah. Questions on katas? You do? Okay, good. I've been having a fever and stuff for a few days. But it's okay. I'll be all right. Questions on katas? Paris, don't shock us like this. It's disgusting when you don't have a question. There's something wrong. You have a fever, bird flu? No? Okay. Oh, this, your pill helped. Thank you very much. I feel better now. I love pills. Drugs, prescription drugs, diet pills, sleeping pills, just pass it over, you know, whatever, just give me pills. I'll tell you another day how I want to die from an overdose, but the pose, the place, the look, I have it all planned. It's very Marilyn Monroe, but never mind, we'll talk about that another time. You can ask Andy, he knows about it. He'll tell you in 10,000 words or less, I promise you. Oh, God, Sharon's evil. She's like, yes, I know.